Hello guys, welcome to another beautiful episode of Leadership Podcast with me, Stephen Akinta. And today I have a young man who has been pushing the course of Nigeria. Like I told him in the afternoon, I said, you make people like us feel like we're not patriotic enough. Because sometimes I watch, I'm like, oh boy. You know, for somebody to really dedicate all his life for Nigeria at a young age is something commendable. We have Peter for Nigeria.
Doctor, thank you very much. I'm fine. It's a pleasure being here, sir.
It's a pleasure. What is your real name?
Peter.
Peter what?
Peter Aka. Peter Aka is my real name. Yeah.
So there's also Randy Peter.
Yeah.
So is that a stage
Randy
name?
Came from random. So, it's a house name. It's okay. Not on any of my documents. You are always everywhere. So okay. I used it to open my social media. So Randy Peter Aka. Yes, that's how.
Interesting.
Yes.
You can recite the name of all governors and deputies. How does your brain work? I need to understand.
You know, I actually believe that we are configured or wired to suit our people sometimes. Okay. That's what I came to realize. Okay. Because, you know, some people will tell you, hey, you are a genius or you're not completely true.
Okay.
Because I'm interested in leadership. Yeah. I'm interested in governance. Yeah. If I see a news flash and I see, let's say, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu,
yes.
I want to know what you are doing, what your leadership is. So it's difficult for me to forget.
Yes.
If you move me to sports,
yes.
It may not be
the same.
So that is how we come about. So I'm always interested in Nigerian leadership and the way we recycle our politicians. A former governor becomes senator, become president. So if you don't pay attention, you wouldn't know what they have done before. So that's how I got to that.
So what's your background? Where were you born? Where are you from? Let's get to know you.
You know, a lot of times I keep where I'm from, you know, a little bit. Because
is it a security
risk? It's not a security risk. You know how Nigeria works when a lot of persons, when you are champion, you're in front of courses like, you know, politics and all. Sometimes people want to swallow it up across ethnic lines. So people
Where did you grow up?
I grew up in the South. Yes, and that's where I'm from.
Okay.
That's where I grew up, most of my schooling and all of that.
Yeah.
And
study?
I studied a basic medical science, human physiology. Okay. I actually wanted to be...
Politics?
No, not at all. I thought I would be a doctor, maybe because my mother was a nurse. But you...
Radical doctor!
But along the line, I found that it was a struggle and all of that. And now I'm looking for an opportunity to even go back to school, do law or something like
really?
That.
Really?
Yes.
Why?
I feel like it fits more into what I'm doing.
Yeah, doing.
And it will help me more.
Okay.
And it's something I would love to do.
Yeah.
Yes.
But what led to this whole radical movement?
The radical movement for Nigeria and because, you know, there's the radical man of God who is winning souls.
I love that that clip. I watch it.
Now I've been trying to win INEC soul and all of that. So it's been a lot. You know, the whole soul is not quite easy. So it's all about leadership.
Yeah.
I just realized growing up that I'm very interested in humanity.
Yes.
I love the concept of human beings. If you don't speak like me, the more I'm even attracted to you.
Yes.
If you don't look like me, because I want to know, why do you talk the way you talk?
Yeah.
So if I'm discussing with a young person, unlike other young people, I'm not asking you your football club. Or I'm asking, are you in school? Why? If you are done, are you working? If you are not working, why are you not working? So those issues led me to realize that our lives are all, you know, impacted by the leadership, the quality of leadership we have.
Very true.
And if we do not pay attention to it, whether it's in the family, whether it's in religious institution, everything rises and falls on leadership, the quality of leadership. So I decided to say, let's put some spotlight and attention on this leadership. Maybe our collective lives will be better. Because we could be very religious people sometimes. You can spend all the week praying in church.
Very true.
And by Monday, with one stroke of the pen, the president or governor, you know,
messes up
everybody's lives. True. And so that was how I got to this point where I think our collective welfare will be better off if we as a people can realize we deserve better leadership and we work towards getting that.
But did you have a Zen moment, a particular thing that happened that then made you to say, this is a new course for my life?
My upbringing.
Okay.
My father is late, but even when he was alive, we were basically raised by almost a single mother. So I have seen firsthand what injustice can be, what, you know, trying to subjugate a woman can be in society, especially when you do not have persons in, you know, powerful places and voices,
I can imagine.
And how you can be shortchanged.
Yes,
and quite literally, nothing will be done about it. And so, all of that, there are two ways. It can either harden you to also become very, you know, maybe a criminal-minded or want to play into that, you know, facet of society, or rather take up the challenge that we can fix this and make it better.
True.
So that is where I got to that point where I realized that, no, we can't continue like this. And then my work with human rights and all of that, we go to detention centers, go to law enforcement, and you see firsthand the level of injustice in the society. No human being should be living at that level, where an innocent person can be incarcerated while known criminals are moving freely.
Very true.
I don't think that that is how a society should be. And we may not be able to solve all the problems, but we can begin from somewhere.
Yeah.
And I can begin by making my own impact in my quota. Gradually, we will become the change we are seeking.
True.
That is what all of us as human beings must realize. Instead of looking at somewhere else for change to come from.
I was discussing with someone recently, and the person said to me, said, so President Tinubu is not ready for Peter for Nigeria. Yet. When he's ready, he will soon start singing,
oh, your mandate. The mandate.
my question is, INEC, is the problem the president, or the problem is the people? Because sometimes we keep changing. Now there's a new chairman of INEC.
Yes.
And he looks as if he doesn't get better.
Yeah.
From the days of Maurice Yu, I remember how everybody, it was as if there would never be a worse
INEC electoral umpire.
Exactly. Like Maurice Yu.
Yes.
Right? Mm. And now we are here. Right? So, is it the president of the day, or it's the people themselves?
I think one of the tragedies of Nigeria, as you rightly said, is the reality that there is no worst-case scenario in Nigeria. Yes, because something is this bad does not mean it will not get worse.
Wow.
It is not even only with INEC chairman. You understand that, or you can observe that, every Nigerian president has been the worst until they leave.
True.
At a point, there was Occupy Nigeria against Jonathan.
Yes,
Jonathan must go.
Then,
you know, and then Buhari came and showed you that there's a level to this thing called incompetence or failure. And then imagine what will make you also miss Tinubu.
So
that is the Nigerian situation. You will think that, okay, maybe Bukola Saraki wasn't good as a senior president. Then you have Ahmed Lawan. And then Ahmed Lawan, his rubber stamp, and then Akpabio will come and show you that, look, there is a way we can handle this thing again. So that is the Nigerian quagmire.
Yeah.
It is both a leadership and a people's problem. Mm. Of course, the leaders are a reflection of the people.
Exactly.
We don't have foreigners as our leaders.
Exactly.
They come from us.
They
are somebody, even the police we criticize. Police is somebody's father.
Exactly.
They live in our communities.
True.
So it is a situation of the people realizing that, what exactly do we want?
Mm.
This issue of INEC became so important because Nigeria, we have been living a lie.
Mm.
Anything that is called democracy, it is people-powered leadership, where you have a social contract, where power comes from the people. And routinely, they hold them accountable by deciding to choose which order. If you do not fix that system of leadership recruitment, you'll be going around in circles, because you will spend 4 years lamenting about bad road, insecurity, inflation, and all of that. The persons who put you in that situation are working on coming back.
Yeah.
If you do not find a means of holding them accountable, you are always subscribing every 4 years to another 4 years of lamentation. That is what we do as elections.
Yes.
So that is why I decided to say we must pay attention. Look at the U.S., for example. The U.S. president is arguably maybe the most powerful person in the world.
Absolutely.
But Trump came in January 2025 and has been in a hurry to, you know, fulfill his campaign promises.
Very true.
Immigration.
In 8 months. Done 8 years.
It's like you have done 8 years of Trump. He has been in Gaza, Ukraine, Moscow. Why? Because these are his promises.
Yes.
America does not even give you 8 years or 4 years.
Yeah.
By 2026, they have what they call midterm elections.
Yeah, exactly.
House or Senate might flip to Democrats, and it puts him in a difficult situation.
True.
So he must have something to campaign on, whether you agree with the policies or not. In Nigeria, there is no means of holding anybody accountable because the persons in power have hijacked power for themselves.
Wow.
So it is like privatizing profits and socializing losses. They know that they can come back through a crooked electoral process and a corrupt judiciary.
Mm.
So if the citizens are not talking about those two institutions, you are wasting time.
Mm.
So you will be complaining unemployment. You won't get unemployment to a better economy as long as there is still corruption.
Mm.
There is a reason why Nigeria is not productive.
Yeah.
Because certain things are not being done. People are literally stealing from the... More than 60% of our corruption is administrative. Inflation of government contracts, budget padding, outright stealing.
Yes.
So if you are not holding those people accountable and they are recycling themselves in the corridors of power, what option do you have? That is why the people must now realize that if leadership is our problem, how do we pick good leaders and how do we hold them accountable? That is why it comes to the point of elections, the leadership recruitment process. Because even after a revolution, if you destroy everything, you must come together and negotiate.
True.
You must now pick leaders.
Yes.
That is how it all ends. Every war ends with negotiation.
True.
So that is why you see me continue to insist that if we want to be a democracy, then let us have a means where citizens pick their leaders. If they decide to be dissatisfied with them after 4 years, they should send them out and get new persons.
But what's your problem with professor? You call him professor of glitches.
Of glitches.
What's your issue with this man?
Yakubu is gone.
But what did Yakubu do in your books?
Yakubu is not to be forgotten.
We
were in one of the public hearings yesterday, and then somebody, one of the INEC people, was telling me that my friend is gone, but he will not forget me. I think personally, I believe that Professor Yakubu should be a subject of investigation.
Okay.
Yes. And
why?
Nigerians, we should not allow public officials to engage in any level of, whether administrative or whatever, perceived corruption and go away with it without accountability.
Okay.
Mahmood Yakubu is the longest serving INEC chairman. For 10 years, he has been INEC chairman.
Wow.
And if nothing tells you the story of Mahmood Yakubu, in 2022, Mahmood Yakubu was the one who the National Assembly called NCC and said, do we have enough broadband technology to power elections? NCC said, some places we have 3G, some 2G, but we do not know. Mahmood Yakubu wrote an INEC position paper telling the National Assembly and Nigerians why electronic technology was the way to go.
Mm.
In his words, he said to reduce human interference.
Yeah.
He told the National Assembly that we are not asking you to pass a law on something we have not started. We are already using electronic technology. We only need a legal framework to back it up. He went to visit the NCC. They set up a steering committee with the then NCC Director General, Umar Dambata.
Mm.
They called the telecommunication agencies to say, how are you helping JAM to conduct CBT? Fast forward, they signed the 2022 Electoral Act by President Buhari.
Mm.
And they said it will be electronic transmission of results. Mm. INEC received about $313 billion for that election. $151 billion alone was for electronic technology.
Wait, hold on. As at that time, that was almost $1 billion.
Yes. Almost $1 million.
$1 billion?
Yes. Almost $1 billion.
Yes, almost $1 billion.
So we took that funds and gave it to one person to carry out one assignment. And even before then, there are different letters of contracts awarded to different companies in INEC, which we have called them out, and they are evidence with those letters of different companies awarded on this electronic technology. And on the day of delivery, the INEC professor said there was a glitch. There was a glitch and there was a result. On the same day, the Senate National Assembly election was able to go through the server, the presidential could not. Doctor, at the minimum, if you spend that level of taxpayer money, even in your personal business to conduct one assignment, you should have an inquiry, an audit into why this did not work.
Exactly.
Why should we prevent further glitches moving forward?
Yeah.
Till date, Professor Mahmood never reviewed the 2023 election.
Wow.
In fact, it was not even a conversation.
Wow.
And with the National Assembly, INEC was no longer even talking about electoral reforms. The same was not talking about electronic technology. There have been issues and allegations that beavers have become equipment of criminality. Should we use bank technology? Should we use blockchain technology? Should we use whatever it is that we know, immovable electronic devices, just to build integrity?
Yeah.
So is it that you decided to become the major human interference by your own self?
Hmm.
You owe Nigerians that explanation. Because look at the INEC data.
Yeah.
2023, total number of registered voters were 93 million.
Okay.
87 million collected PVCs. Mm. The total number of persons who voted are less than 28 million.
Wow.
More than 50 million people decided to sit out an election. Why? Nigerians do not believe in that process.
Mm.
They don't trust that what we vote is what INEC announces.
True.
And if that is not a problem for you after 10 years in office, then there is a challenge.
Mm.
If you are leaving office with that kind of record after 10 years, you who came to build on the integrity of what Professor Jega left.
Yeah. Now it looks as if you are worse.
That is the situation. So that is why everybody is saying the best of man is man. No matter who the president appoints.
What if it wasn't Professor Mahmood? What if it was the people at the polling unit that were being paid and they were sabotaging? What if it was the commissioners? Wasn't him.
Of course, it is a combination of factors. In fact, Professor Mahmood is not at polling units during election.
Exactly.
There are foot soldiers.
Yeah.
But am I supposed to hold the ad hoc staff responsible? It is the leader. It rises and falls at your table. So it is what cascades down. So if you know that there is a challenge with the persons who are under you, then read the riot act or raise the alarm so that we Nigerians know where to give you support. Civil society was ready to partner with you. Everybody was working. We need the integrity of this process to be, you know, let it be transparent. One of the African Union observation team that left in 2023 from their report, what they stated was that what we came to do in Nigeria was not election monitoring. It was a crime watch.
Wow.
Doctor, imagine leadership that proceeds from a seeming event of criminality.
Mm.
Where does the country move forward?
Yeah.
That is why we have a sitting president today who had far less than 50%. The total number of persons who voted for President Tinubu are less than 10 million.
Yeah.
So whether you agree or not, it is a very unpopular mandate.
Mm.
Nigerians, and then we now have a situation where all our elections must end up in the judiciary. So we spend billions voting. After voting, we now wait for the judiciary to tell us who is our leader. Is that a democracy?
Wow.
There is a fundamental problem. So if everybody is not ready to raise it to the level of a crisis, Nigerians must wake up and do it.
Mm.
And that's what I'm calling on Nigerians, that we must put a spotlight on this. I don't know President Tinubu. I don't know. We have never met any of them. Let Nigerians vote for their leader, whoever they choose.
Some people say you're obedient, though.
I've never met with Peter Obi.
You've never met him.
I have never met him.
You've never met Peter Obi.
I have never met him. Not even... Okay, I may have met him. I have met him actually sometime in 2018 or 2019.
Okay.
Unknowing to me. I was an MC at a wedding where he attended.
Yes.
I'm now remembering that event. But that is long before he decided to declare to run for president.
Exactly.
So I'm sure he may not even remember. But I'm remembering now somewhere in Lagos.
Mm.
I emceed a wedding, a reception. He was in that wedding. That was the first time I will see him physically. Other than that,
So this is not a Labour Party or APC or non-APC campaign.
Doctor, let me be honest with you. My loyalty is to Nigeria, not to any person. I am loyal to principles and not a person.
Mm.
If you are a thief, I'm not loyal to you. That is how I was brought up. That is what the character my mother told me. She said, but you are loyal to my father. She said, no. If he's a kidnapper or a rapist, I'm not loyal to that people.
I like that.
I'm loyal to the principles that he holds dear of equity, of love, of kindness, of service to humanity.
Yeah.
So it is not about a person. Obi is not sacred. Anybody can become leader in Nigeria. Even Obi himself have said, I'm not desperate to run. I'm desperate to see Nigeria work. That is what I want. If it is through him and he embodies the values I believe in, of course he will have my support.
Mm.
And he alone cannot do it. Let the system be such that persons of integrity and character can scale through.
Mm.
Not we have a process where it's so criminalized that only the very criminal-minded can make it through. That is my own point. So it is not whether it is Obi. Who should hate free and fair election? Why should President Tinubu be afraid of free and fair election? He's the Jagaban of Lagos.
Come on.
He has been de facto governor of Lagos for more than 20 years.
Yes.
He decides who is leader.
Yeah.
So popularity or influence should be popularity.
Absolutely.
So you should be confident that whether by midnight, if they tap a Lagosian with what you have done to impact their lives, they should vote for you.
Yeah.
If you are afraid after leading the people for 26 years and you are afraid to get a clear mandate from them, you have a problem. It is either you are not being honest with yourself or you are being mischievous.
Wow. Ladies and gentlemen, first of all, are you married?
Not yet.
Why? Nigerian ladies.
Tinubu.
Wait, what happened? What's Tinubu's job in you being single?
Exchange rate and love is difficult to find under the second.
No. With this your level of eloquence, women are moved by what they hear. Nigerian ladies, we are looking for a wife.
Doctor.
For Peter.
For Nigeria.
For Nigeria. And once he has a wife, Nigeria has... love.
Yeah. You can't do advocacy single, so we are right.
But why haven't you been married?
No, I believe that everything happens at an appointed time.
Okay.
It's not because I've spent and I've not. It's not like I've been searching. So I'm just believing that his spouse will come.
The job of a man to search.
To search.
Sir, you have to search. Either find the wife, find the good.
But Shebi, Adam was sleeping when they took his ring. God should remove it when I'm sleeping now. Why? Because there are too many now. And then you know you need to micro exactly. Scale down and scale down. But I'm believing God because I have always gotten the counsel from people and from people like you with the success you have recorded. I'm sure you owe it partly to the stability you have
I
in
do.
Your home. You could have a partner
shout
that
out
you,
to my wife.
Oh, God bless you, ma. Thank you for taking care of doctor for us. So it's something I love love and I believe that God did not create anybody to be lonely or to do life alone.
Yes.
And I'm praying that the person who and God has prepared for you basically will come and help you with your vision and you help live your life together. So I'm very open and very, in fact, it should be very soon. Wherever you are,
come
make it fast.
Peter is looking for you. Your relationship with Mama Peace.
Yeah.
Right, it's a very interesting one. How did you guys connect?
Mama P, Precious Oruche. I met her for the first time at the protest.
That
should tell you the foundation of our... Because there's a video I did one time recently when I posted complaining that since I met her, it has been
exactly.
Wrong. So,
one problem
to the other. We have not gone on any date, any lunch. It's either we are in a police station or we are somewhere. So, of course, we see ourselves the way social media is and... You see people, young persons like you who are clamoring. They were at the forefront of even other protests. They have been doing this long time.
Wow.
Before me. Wow. I protested. I joined NSAS, but in my own capacity and, you know, all of that. So on social media. And there is something about connecting with like minds. When you see people who believe in a cause and you genuinely want a better country for ourselves.
Yeah.
Immediately we met, it was like
exactly.
Lost friends who just reconnected.
Yes.
That was how it was. And some people think maybe we have no... In fact, from there, we followed to where I was staying.
Wow.
We stayed there throughout till the evening. Then we followed to where she was living. It was in Abuja. We had this advocacy protest to the National Assembly for Electoral Reform.
Wow.
That was the first time I was meeting her. And since then, it has been...
And that was how many years ago?
This year, a few months ago.
Really?
I met Mama P.
It looks like you guys have known each other.
No. In June or end of May this year or June. That's this year. That's...
Wow.
So when we see an issue, she is talking about maybe NAPTIP and then I have not paid attention to it. You call your attention and say, look at this. Go through it. It's something that needs your voice to be on it. So, and then when you meet people who, you see them always genuinely talking about how to help solve a problem. Mm-hmm. You know, we're not always talking about a lot of these spaces. A lot of Nigerians do not believe that what you are doing is genuine.
Yes.
It might be for your own financial aggrandizement.
Somebody may be
sponsoring you from behind.
Yeah.
But when I now see the risk that young people are also taking, we can bear liability for what we do and all of that without any protection. I feel like let us come together and be, you know, that shoulder to ourselves.
That's
not only
amazing.
Mama P, any other person in that space. That's how we
is Mama P married?
No, not that I know of. Doctor, where is... where are we going to?
No, I mean, the Lord may be working in mysterious ways.
Imagine two activists getting married. Who will raise these children? Mama, they protest.
The
National Assembly. They shout, I neck chairman.
But you know, there's a couple like that, though.
Yes.
You know them.
Even the late Uncle Joe Dumagina and Auntie Yinka Odumagina.
Yes, now.
Two strong people.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. It's possible.
That's true.
It's possible. But,
doctor. Oh my God.
Mama P.
What God cannot do does not exist.
I'm greeting you.
Dr. Stephen.
I'm a fan of both of you. You know, people always say, you're an entrepreneur.
Mm.
What's your business with? When people saw me at N-Size protest, they were shocked. If my police orderly had to dress normal, you know, I'm blaming.
So that, yes.
Because it was against the police.
Yes.
But people were really shocked. What was I doing there? And I said, if I were not to have been an entrepreneur, I would have been really an activist. Because I'm mentally rebellious.
Because I wanted to ask.
Yes, I'm mentally rebellious. Mm. Like, and for me, it's because I think God helped me to see entrepreneurship as a way out of my frustration, because I grew up just like every activist as well. Injustice. My mother died of ovarian cancer. She was a civil servant. The same civil service could not bail her. The doctor who was supposed to treat her had his other private businesses, was constantly not in the country until the cancer had spread. In fact, we couldn't even get the cancer diagnosed in the government hospital until we looked for money, 800,000, but it has spread, and she died a few days after the surgery. So
sorry about that.
Yeah, no problem. But I've been through a lot as well, and so for me, her death was the final straw that made me say, any legal way to make it, I have to.
Yeah.
So I was able to find entrepreneurship as a way out. But many other persons choose to say, you know what, I don't even want entrepreneurship. I just want the system to change. So, and it's good I'm saying it, because sometimes people really don't understand it. They just feel like you are contented, you are okay. You even left Nigeria. You have businesses all over the world.
Not so many persons in your own want to still.
Exactly. So they're always wondering, what is your own? Oh, my friends have said, let's take you to president. Let's take you to governor. I said, look, I don't know. But I'm hoping maybe I will change one day. But I love what you're doing. And I think we all need to, in one way or the other, I see it in America, from entrepreneurs, they speak truth to power.
Yes.
They talk about policies. Yeah. They want the nation to change. Yeah. And I think it's a proof of patriotism.
Yeah.
If even if you are successful, you can still speak and say, let's get this thing to change.
Yeah.
You know, so I must commend you and several other activists out there. My next question will be, how does somebody looking up to you sustain a work like this? Because there are a lot of people moving, doing activism. And I've said it to me. Each time I look at people, there are some activists that I don't trust the activism.
Mm.
If I have one that I literally had to dig deep until I started finding evidences that for every business he was calling out, he was being paid.
Mm.
You know, and I have records of him being paid for it. So how do somebody do this work and do it genuinely and do it in a way where it's not as if, you know, you do it for the right reason?
Yes.
And how do you then sustain it
so
that you're also not going hungry? Because I won't blame some people who also compromise.
Yes.
Because you can be lonely, you are doing something for the right cause, you are broke in the process, and people are even still accusing you that they are paying you. Let people collect the money and be guilty as charged.
Doctor, I think you should add apostle to your name. or reverend. Because you're speaking so too prophetic and too direct. Let me also thank you for all that you do, because it is an encouragement. Not many persons in your social status will think it is important. Nigeria, a lot of people do not have any reason to pay attention to a daily fighting government. If at one snap of the finger, you can get whatever you want from whatever government, if you decide to just keep short and do what you're doing. But you still think it's important, and I'm very grateful because it inspires us. The question you have asked is quite interesting. Because this space, Nigerians don't have been victims of so much bad governance that they do not believe good governance is possible.
Very true.
And that they have a reason to be suspicious of anybody who is coming to say you are a game changer or a messiah. Almost everybody who is in government today who is destroying Nigeria were freedom fighters before.
True.
When you now see Nigerians being suspicious of you, they are wondering. President Tinubu supported the MK Abiola mandate. They were part of the people.
Yes.
And then
Nadeco.
You know. Then in 2025, Occupy Nigeria. Then you came later, you removed the subsidy you protested against, and then the money you have saved, we don't even know how much. And so we don't know even how much is 1 kilometer of coastal highway from the practicing professor.
Off your mic. Off his mic. Off your mic.
So Nigerians have a lot of reasons to be suspicious.
Yes.
So for me, I always work with the personal philosophy that to yourself be true. The opinions of people are not at their opinions. Let the end speak for itself, because I only have control over my actions, not the reactions of other people.
True.
So it is to stay true to what I believe in. As you continue to do it, you will see that gradually the evidence will speak to itself.
True.
It can be overwhelming, especially in a space like this. You hear people even call you cash TVist. If you even go enter cash TV, say na money na e dey fine. They go say, I see this world. Reno Mokri do pass you now. They will say, by the time they don't call and give as much change now, they will be singing another mandate. And all of that. And do you know that, funny enough, the whole movement or the issue we started, I started from my own personal, resources.
Yes.
I took my house rent and said, I just wanted something to begin.
Yeah.
Let us start. And then you'll be moving around. Maybe you are entering. That's why sometimes if you see me coming now, I come with a face cap and a nose mask. Because if I'm entering boss.
You're already famous.
You are famous, but you don't have the finances to fund your fame. So maybe you are entering public transport. Somebody will say, they will not tell you when they go to your comment section. They'll say, you this madman, you are there criticizing government. So you don't even care much. That's why you're abusing Tinubu, because you want to collect money. So I feel like for young people, if I shouting around for government is not my life ambition.
Yes.
I'm a very talented person. If Nigeria is working, I have a lot of things that I should be doing.
You're a comedian. You're
many, many things, an actor and everything.
Yeah.
But I believe that it is time where we build the economy for people to thrive. Where if you have a sure foundation and financial backing, your welfare is okay, you are less incentivized or enticed to go into corruption, to say that, this is what you need. But as a people, first of all, you must bridle your ambition. As a young person, where you want to seek for whatever, know that your needs are not so many. It is our wants that are insatiable. Yeah. So if I have a house today in Abuja, how many would you sleep? How many cars? So you just want to acquire, because we have built a society that just gratifies wealth and affluence no matter how it is gotten. So we glorify it. Even in religious organizations, they tell you that we need a church or mosque project for 200 million. A politician comes and gives you 100 million or 200 million. Nobody, the clap is that testimony, grace has happened. But now it is money from criminality.
You are taking
money from stealing.
That's
not his salary. Money for hospital, primary health care, ASU, that is it. We are using to build religious or other, facets of society. So for me, it is important that as young people, we also get the requisite capacity or ability to invest properly in what whether enterprise, so that you don't go there. A lot of problem we have with Nigerian politicians is that politics is the only enterprise.
Very true.
The only way they make money
very
is there.
True.
Imagine going into office, they swear you in and they are giving you 30 million of money you have never seen before. Why do you want to live there? So we die there.
God bless you.
That is the problem. So we must build an economy that supports people, young people, SMEs and all of that, if they have stable power, access to credit and all of that. But for those of us who are in it already, we are still struggling to see that. We balance it because we did not do that before going in. But I believe it's very important for you to sustain yourself, for you to stay true and not compromise, because a lot will be thrown at you.
Exactly.
A lot will come.
And it's important we say this because some people say, oh, but Showere, as if it doesn't tell you, was already worth $10 million.
He had business in the US now,
before he even jumped. Of course, he had started when he was a student.
Yeah.
But by the time he came back, he wasn't a poor man. And Peter Obi is not poor.
No.
You know, he's not.
One of the wealthiest persons before getting into politics.
We're together in business, first class, so coming to London. The first day I saw him, we were both in first class. So, he might not poor.
No.
And so, it's important that young people balance this, that we need to look for a better Nigeria and fight for it.
Yeah.
But while doing that, make sure you empower yourself as well.
Yeah.
That's the only way you can sustain the movement.
Yeah.
Else, you also be forced to compromise at some point because you just have to also pay your bills.
You will burn out.
Imagine you are protesting for better Nigeria.
Yeah.
And one day your landlord say, yeah. The better Nigeria starts from you paying my rent.
I'm squatting. Me. So when he asked me, he said, why have you not paid? He said, you know, I went for electoral reform. He said, you mad person. So you are there fighting. And you don't know that you should do tenant reform here for me to...
Tenant reform. So it would be good then that young people look into that. And I've always argued that. What is your opinion about, and I think this is very, very important. What is your opinion about the role? I know you're a Christian.
Yeah.
What do you think is the role of religious institutions, pastors, imam, in this better Nigeria?
In fact, it is as important, if not even more important, than the political leadership. Because even for those who are Christians, the Bible says that it will send the Prince of Peace, that the government will be upon his shoulders. So politics basically even started in through religion. That's why we have the... I'm a Christian. I believe in God. I pray in the Holy Ghost. I believe in the Trinity.
Yes.
But I would make
demon bold to, chasing,
tongue speaking, and power must change and everything. I believe in the Bible.
Yes.
But I make bold to say here that the religious community is a fundamental part of Nigeria's problem, if not Africa's problem. Because at some point, if you look at the entire, both scriptures and the Quran, what were the duties of powerful religious leaders?
Yes.
Speaking truth to kings.
To power.
To power.
Checkmating.
Telling them that, you know, this is how, because Christ did not come for the affluent. He said he came for those ones that were forgotten, marginalized.
Yeah.
That they may be saved. True. When we were yet sinners, he saw us and came. Yes. So it is this, even the Holy Quran admonishes you to look forward to. So if you are in a position of authority and for certain reason, you cannot be bold enough to speak out and call out persons in authority and say, this thing should be done. And then we begin to hide everything under the guise of religiosity. So in Nigeria, if you do not have a job or certain things are going on in your life, it is most likely spiritual. It's not so we spiritualize everything. Meanwhile, 70 to maybe 80% of what we spend time praying for in religious houses are issues that should be sorted by efficient government.
True.
You have no reason to be praying for light when your national grid is not working. Because Christ says you are the light of the world. The greatest manifestation of God's powers was in the creation of man. He said that the earth I have given to the sons of men, and he lives, you know, in the heavenly places. So calling on God to fix what he created you to fix is irresponsibility.
Hey.
It is recklessness. It's abdication of duty. So what prayer is building Russia? What prayer is building Ukraine? Ukraine has been fighting a war for almost 3 years, and guess what? Ukraine has been sending grains to African countries. Nigeria is not fighting a foreign adversary. Nigeria cannot feed itself. So we have a problem.
Who did this to us?
Who do us like this? We contributed to fighting apartheid in South Africa. We contributed to the building of Dubai, the United Arab Emirates. Today it has grown into a cosmopolitan city, both tech, finance, and every other. Now our religious leaders go for seminars and retreats in Dubai. Is it a Christian nation? So that is the mischief on the part of leaders. When you are in bed with a political class, you wind. Every politician in Nigeria worships in a mosque or a church. Everybody has a religious father. So what is the disconnect between what is happening in government and what we preach inside religious houses? Is it that we are just deceiving ourselves? We have more than 80 million Christians, 80 million Muslims. So who is committing the crimes in Nigeria? Who is doing the evil? There is something wrong with what we are professing and what we are practicing. Yeah. There is a disconnect.
Yeah.
And then when you come out as a religious leader and you are preaching and you say the Lord will be with you, you are protected with a pillar of cloud in a day and a pillar of fire at night. But you, daddy, you are using bulletproof SUV and about four mopo. So what you are doing is double factor authentication. If the pillar of cloud does not protect you, the bulletproof should suffice. The armed police protecting you, protecting mama, protecting your children.
Oh, Lord.
You are investing. Jesus is coming to you. Jesus is coming to you. You are investing in real estate. Soon, real estate. So this
you
is...
You need to be off in your mind. My needs to be off.
So the truth is, are there some who are genuinely speaking up? Yes. And we must commend them.
Absolutely.
That you are doing well to use the platform that you have.
You have.
Some will rather stay away and be quiet because they for fear of the backlash or whatever that will come.
True.
But we have leaders in this country who can sway an entire election.
Yes, sir.
There are certain GOs who are that powerful, or that's imams true. Or sultans that's or whatever, emirs.
That's true.
But today, both the religious community, traditional communities, they are rather in partnership with the persons who are impoverishing the people. So wow. You go there, you are bidding for contracts. Go to law firms and see the level of investment from religious and traditional leaders.
Wow.
That is why today there are places where known criminals have been given chieftaincy titles, being installed as kings.
Wow.
Persons with criminal records. So which mouth do you want to use to be custodian of which authority? To speak truth to who? So we must wake up and realize that we are our only help. And if God brings you to a time like this, maybe it is for a time like this. Remember what Mordecai told Esther?
Yes.
Every time there was a child, there is a reason why we are Nigerians. God could have made you British.
Yeah.
But whilst you are here, you should speak up and do what we can do to see that so humanity is better because you were here.
But how do we get Christians involved in politics? And when I say Christian, I mean real Christians.
Yes.
Who are doing Christianity for socialism. Real Christians. Yeah. How do we get them to take the subject of politics serious?
It is, first of all, deconstructing this mindset, which is already ongoing, that politics is a dirty game for unbelievers.
Yes.
You know, for a long time, the religious body decided to outsource it. Say, no.
It's too dirty.
In fact, when I was in the university, I did not take part in campus politics because I was in a campus fellowship. My campus fellowship had a guideline that we must not engage in it. I was even so popular that they decided to give me an honorary directorate in my faculty. I still rejected it, which was, in retrospect, would have been an opportunity for me to serve and also gain experience for, the outside. But you say, if you go into it, today, a lot of the persons who will tell you that was wrong, and now looking for a way that you need to run for office, so you cannot just be talking on social media. Where am I supposed to get the experience from? So that is it. If you say some people say that we are not into politics, well, politics is into you. Everybody is. Our lives are shaped by persons in political office.
True.
So it is either you take part in the decision making or you outsource it to charlatans to do it on your behalf. But you will live with the consequences. So once we realize that, and then we understand that we have a direct mandate. The Bible says that we should go into the world. So we are the light of the world, not the light of the church. You are not supposed to sit in church. The light is too much there. Take it out and begin to fix society wherever you find yourself. So why are we all concentrated in winning souls to take? If God was interested in just making heaven, then you should die immediately you accept Christ. But he said, I came that ye may have life. So I'm interested that while you are here, you should live a good life.
Come on.
So we must build the systems of this world, and it is our duty. We, if you speak in tongues, you know that you have the capacity and power. What are you doing with all the tongues? So you just want to stay and be prayer warrior inside church. We do not want to go into ministries of finance. You don't, imagine carrying that fire into National Assembly.
Hey.
Imagine what you will achieve. Let us say people, we have like 10 senators who are members of prayer band.
Come on.
Genuine Christians.
Come on.
Back up with genuine come Muslims on. From that side, yes, who really believe in, yes, you know, the holy prophets and, yes, what he laid down. Yeah. We will begin to move away forward.
True.
Not all this hypocrisy we see here.
Yeah.
They appoint you chairman of this. You say you're, that's when you put pastor in front of your name. Immediately they appoint you, you remember that you were pastor of one church. Meanwhile, now she, you did do for
some who are Christian. That's why they remember that they came from Muslim background.
From Muslim background.
You say Abdul Latif.
Yes, exactly.
Peter.
Abdul Latif.
Abdul Latif.
So during a Muslim holiday, you see him with Toba. If they go select, you go see him with white garment. You go see him for. You go say, Nigerian politician.
Oh, no.
This mischief is too much. Fear God. We are very religious people who do not fear God, honestly. Yes. If we fear God, we should know that it's about humanity.
Yeah.
We must look out for one another, not amassing so much wealth.
Mm.
What do you have to do? One person having houses, Abuja, Lagos, Dubai, London.
Mm.
What are you, private jets, stealing billions?
Mm.
Your children are already overseas. You have a trust for them. Meanwhile, there is a country where we have more than 18 million children who are not in school. And it's not a problem to you. People wake up without knowing where a meal for that day will come from.
Yeah.
And as a religious leader, even if you say, okay, we go share a bag of rice, 5 kg, for how many days?
Yeah.
For how many persons in a family? As against fixing the country, let the economy work. There was a time when a bag of rice in Nigeria was less than 15,000. Imagine if the economy was that level. You will not need to empower or give stipends to people. People should be able to work. Let the environment sustain and support persons to work and thrive and earn a living. Nobody will be able to pull people out of poverty by handing out stipends.
Mm-hmm.
No economic growth like that. Mm-hmm. You support what already the structures on ground. Nigeria is struggling because the fundamental structures are not working.
Mm.
So no matter how much you do, it is like a drop in the ocean.
True. True. Very true. Very true.
So philanthropists will grow weary. Yeah. It's like you are not doing, but you are doing so much.
Yeah, so
how
much
many do you want to help?
Exactly. So much.
Your nuclear family, you have not finished. Mm-hmm. Extended family, mm-hmm, then people in the local government, in the community, in your church, is a lot. We need to fix government.
Wow. Time is up. Time is up. But we have two more questions for you so that we can wrap up. I think we have to bring you back because there's so much to discuss. Right? There's so much to discuss. One is Senator Natasha.
Mm.
Why did you support
her? My Senator Natasha.
One and only.
They distinguish. They call her the princess of the National Senate. You know, it's actually funny. Some persons actually thought maybe what we're doing because I got paid or because I never knew Senator Natasha.
Wow.
I had never met her until.
That is sure.
Yes. I met her for the first time in court.
Wow.
Yes, we went there with Mama B. Yeah, she had a court case at the FCT High Court also. And then I had already been making videos. I do believe that there should be equal justice for every person.
Mm.
Injustice does not become justice because it is done to someone I don't like or I disagree with. No. Even if Senator Godswill Akpabio, the current Senate president, was an ordinary, a normal senator, and another Senate president tries to victimize him, I will speak up against it. Senator Natasha, and her case is more peculiar because I am a person who am very interested in women's rights and young people. I was raised by a single mother. I know what empowering women can do. I love to see women in male-dominated positions,
true,
especially based on their capacity,
yes,
not
like
simply
that,
because they are women.
Yes, I'm like that.
So if you have a Senate of 109 senators and you have just 4 women, you say that the woman broke standing rules, say she refused to change seat, and then you give a maximum sentence of 6 months suspension, withdraw security, stop allowances, even going to the extent of stopping allowances of aid, then we have a problem. The same Senate, a senator led talks, according to police, to steal the mace. It was later found at City Gate. He went to the Supreme Court. Supreme Court said you cannot suspend for more than 14 days. He came back, and guess what? By 2019, he was voted in as Deputy Senate President.
Wow.
Another senator who is a former governor in that same chambers was convicted of money laundering after more than 10 years of prosecution by the EFCC. He was sentenced to prison. He retained his position until they went to court. Yes, he's a ranking member. He went to the Supreme Court and the Supreme Court voided this thing and then he came back. So the standing orders of or rules of the Senate does not know how to take care of criminals amongst them. Convicted criminals. It is women who say our rights. And then again, if the woman had accused you of sexual harassment, I am not in supporter of accusations or allegations without substance.
Yes.
But everybody must be given opportunity for fair hearing. Yeah. The Senate president, as the number three citizen, you must be held to a higher code of conduct and ethical standard. The least you could do is recuse yourself, allow an independent investigation. If they clear your name, they clear your name. But trying to use an arm of the government against one person, it should not be. You are not, and it is not because of you. That institution precedes you.
Yeah.
And at some point, you will be out of there. We should not ridicule it because you are seated there. So I do not have a problem with Godswill Obodakpabio. I have a problem with Senate President Godswill Akpabio.
I like that part. So the issue is not with the person. It's with the office.
It is with the office.
Yeah.
We should not weaponize it. And then when a court says that I find the suspension overreaching and it breaches the constitutional rights of the senator to represent her people for 180 days, which is guaranteed by the, it should be the end of it. Yeah. If a judge of competent jurisdiction, a court, have said this violates the constitution, you cannot be the three arms of government together. So after 6 months, you still write a letter saying that you cannot still resume. The same court you refused to obey initially. That's why we say no. Make I carry my mattress. Let's go and sleep with Akpabio in the National Assembly. Since you don't want us to sleep at home. The people of Kogi Central deserve their representation. I'm not an indigenous of Kogi State. But I mean, we cannot just fold our arms and allow illegality and injustice. And in the words of Senator Natasha, she kept saying this injustice will not be sustained.
Yes,
and we are glad that she is back. Let her represent her people. Do her bit. You focus on... Nigeria has a lot. Insecurity, everything. The National Assembly has become a money point National Assembly. Approving loans without investigation. The only place this government has not borrowed money is maybe OPA and fair money. Everywhere. When they collect from Kuda, they claim money point. They collect from this one, they claim this one. That is what they are doing there. So we please focus on important things and stop this your theater performance, Jerry.
Next is Mazi Nnamdi Kanu. What's your opinion?
You know, there are many topics sometimes that I stay away from.
Yes.
For certain reasons and for obvious reasons.
Mm.
I personally believe that Nigeria, for us to be great, we don't need to be small. I don't believe in the disintegration of Nigeria. True. It's my personal opinion.
True.
Partly because if you do not even structure your leadership, breaking out does not even make you better.
Absolutely.
There is no impoverishment of any region in Nigeria that happened without the cooperation of the persons in that region.
Very true.
The South-South, you talk about oil well and oil of the oil riches and there and all of the exploitation. It happened with the full and maximum cooperation of leaders from the Niger Delta.
Very true.
Anybody who comes from outside works with the people on ground.
Very true.
So if we want to say Nigeria should stay as one, but for the issue of Mazi Nnamdi Kanu, I mean, with the recent decision by the president.
I'm talking about whether to release him or not.
Yes.
There's been call to release him.
Why is the government still holding him? To what end? What do we hope to achieve with this continuous incarceration?
Yeah.
You have been there for years. Even if he was convicted, how many years will be the possible sentence?
Exactly.
So he has probably served out his term.
True.
And then with the recent actions of President Tinubu, with granting pardon to convicted kidnappers. To known drug dealers who were convicted, kidnap kingpins, illegal minors. President Tinubu should please release the man. Because you have shown that you have a sub. Because some people are even saying, you know, they say this government is a milokon. Maybe it's also the turn of convicted criminals to enjoy. So they are being released now. So if all of those people can be released, people with firearms, records and convictions and all of that, what is the offense of Mazi Nnamdi Kanu that defies logic or reason? Release him. Think of a way of rather looking at the big picture. President Tinubu can become a hero in this.
I'm telling you.
He did not arrest him, but he can play a major role in even stabilizing the region.
I agree.
Because you should factor in the fact that an entire region is being, affected by this. And it is one of the very economically viable regions.
Yes.
If we want to move forward as a country, we must reintegrate ourselves. Let's be honest. Nobody should feel marginalized.
Absolutely.
The Igbos are not less Nigerian than the Hausas or Yorubas. Everybody must have a sense of belonging. Absolutely. And the onus is on the president, being the father of the nation, to know that if God gives you an opportunity, you can also... It is possible that some people may not even like you becoming president, may not have supported you.
Yeah.
But you come and do take certain steps that make them know that you can also be a national, a patriot, or a hero.
And you're a father for all.
You are a father for all.
True.
So that's the appeal. You release the man and let's look at the bigger picture of restabilizing the region and the entire nation. It's better off for everybody.
I agree, absolutely. I mean, Mr. President, I'm sure by the time this is airing, you will have seen my open letter to you. If you release Nnamdi Kanu, I will vote you in 2027.
And by the way, do you know how much money is being spent, according to the DSS, on keeping Nnamdi Kanu and taking him to court every day? If you are in Abuja and you on a day of a court hearing for Nnamdi Kanu, it's like moving a battalion to a war front. Almost all law enforcement agencies are deployed. It is costing government millions, if not billions. A lot. On what? For what reason? Please, let reason guide all of our actions.
Thank you for coming.
My absolute pleasure, doctor.
Thank you. I really wish you could continue.
We'll be back.
We'll be back. We'll be back. I'll see you next week on another beautiful episode. Bye-bye.